You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for Conscious Infinity with Rebecca Wiley, heard here every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific. Rebecca is an integrative medicine practitioner and medical intuitive blessed with psychic abilities and a passion for holistic healing. She's trained in several healing modalities and has founded her own called Zero Point Activations. Tune in to hear weekly Conscious Infinity conversations with Rebecca and her special guests from around the world. Let's welcome Rebecca back to News for the Soul Radio now.
Hello, everyone. It's so great to be back. Today, I have a special treat. I have Shirley on the line. Shirley, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. She's a friend, a dear friend of mine, as well as a colleague. And I would like to spend this show working on her using the modality Theta Healing. In case you don't know what Theta Healing is, it's basically a modality where you get into that God consciousness, the Theta state, and you tap into the client, the person you're working on, and you're working on releasing blocks, fears, programs, vows, oaths, commitments, and contracts, anything that's no longer serving them, in order to bring them back into perfect health. Something that I channeled when I was tapping into the morphic field of COVID-19 is that COVID-19 attaches to shadow energies within people. So if you can imagine yourself being in that divine frequency of balance within the heart space, it'd be impossible for really any illness to hold. So I think when someone attracts an illness, like such as COVID-19 or the flu, it's basically there to help them purge shadow energies, you know, whatever is going on in their life that has to do with like doubt, guilt, shame, fear, embarrassment, you know, whatever it is that is keeping that person out of balance. So Shirley has been diagnosed with COVID-19 as well as her daughter. So I thought this would be a really good opportunity. I just found this out today to work with this, work with the shadow energies around it and bring her into balance, but also using the technique Theta Healing and then demonstrating how that is done. So welcome, Shirley. How are you feeling right now?
Feeling fine, just a little bit fatigue, achy, but I've had it for a few days, so a lot of the symptoms are really improving.
Okay, so let's, first of all, begin by taking a strong, deep breath. And remember that it's the breath that you're breathing, because, you know, the COVID-19 is really about breath and suffocation patterns and the whole respiratory, allowing yourself to breathe that effortlessly and easily and then surrendering into the exhale and just, you know, getting into a state of relaxation. So can you give us or give me a little bit of background about like when you were diagnosed, what was going on and how that happened really quick?
Sure. My daughter started feeling ill last Monday. Tuesday morning, she woke up and was having difficulty breathing. I took her to a local urgent care for her to get looked at and get tested. The next day, I started to have more symptoms. It started off as congestion, and then I was feeling tired and achy and a little bit feverish. They didn't test me because I typically get sinus infections this time of year, so they weren't too concerned. On Thursday, the urgent care called and said her test was negative, but asked if she was still sick, and she was. So they suggested that we get her retested. So both she and I went Friday morning, got tested, and the results came back yesterday that we were positive.
Okay. So you being an energy healer, you know kind of how I'm going to go about this already. So I just want you to take a deep breath, and we're going to think of this as energy and patterns of energy. And with your awareness around it, because I know when we're dealing with something personally, sometimes it's harder for us to see if we're going through it. But do you see, with you and Kayla, do you see there being a connecting pattern between the two of you?
A connecting pattern with us being sick of this.
I said that ambiguous to see what you would come up with. But what were you going to say?
I was saying, like, do you mean as us and being sick at the same time, or?
Well, basically, okay, so actually we're going to, like, not go to that question then. And you'll see what I meant by that in a second. Let's talk about you, okay? Let's talk about your life. So what are your particular symptoms? I know you said you had sinus issues. So where is this manifesting for you in your physical body? Like, tell me your exact symptoms.
Mainly my head. So, like, stuffy nose, and then there's lots of drainage. and that's mainly been the biggest part for me, is not being able to breathe out my nose. I can't smell, like I said, and then there's just constant drainage running down the back of my throat.
Okay.
Of the cough that they talk about getting, it's kind of a little nagging cough, but it's not, I don't have it constantly. It's just, like I said, there's a lot of phlegm, then I start coughing. Or if I get out of breath, I start coughing.
Okay. So let's take your symptoms from physical into mental, emotional, and spiritual as well. So I want you to look at this. Like, so around the time, or just in general, let's say within the last month or so in your life, not being able to really take a full breath in, and then having that kind of irritable drainage in your life, not being able to release congestion. When I just say that, when I say congestion in your life or not being able to breathe in through your nose, you know, any area of your life where you're feeling that type of restriction, like the breath restriction, does any of that, like, what comes up for you when I say that?
I think it's just this whole COVID thing of not being able to have a normal life right now, or not being able to, you know, see my family when I want to, always having to worry about restrictions and feeling constricted in my life. I can't, you know, I don't have a normal, I can't go to the office. You know, everything we do is scrutinized. So to me, like that, I feel very congested and suffocated in that way of not really feeling like I can truly live my life. Like, you know, I can't go to the gym unless I want to wear a mask and have difficulty breathing while I'm working out. so that's what comes to mind for me. I'm not sure if that's where you were going with
that.
Yeah,
that's a really good start. I'm going to loosen you up a little bit more as well. Okay, so, like, basically kind of isolated.
Yes.
Isolated.
Oh, yes.
Being separated from the people that you love. What's the worst thing about being isolated?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, like, we all need human connection. And to me, you know, that human connection, you know, feeling love or feeling accepted, to me, that seems like that would be, it's the worst part of it, is feeling alone. And it's okay to be alone, but everybody needs love and human contact in their life. And
so kind of like a forced aloneness, though.
Yeah.
Like you're being forced to do this. Okay. Yeah. Forced isolation. Okay. So what you're saying is the exact, like, the prevention of getting COVID caused you to get COVID.
Yeah.
So, yeah, which makes sense. Okay. So, but I still want to go into these even deeper patterns, because we are a reflection of a reality, and it's a really good time, actually, to be honest with you. I believe if you get the flu or you get COVID or you get some sort of illness, when it's a good opportunity, since you're definitely going to get better, you already know that, to release the energies with it. Like to me, it's a really good time to spend thinking about what needs to be released within you. So let's go into that, like, forced isolation. Is there any time in your life where you remember feeling like you were forced into isolation, not having human contact other than, like, right now?
Well, yeah, growing up, my parents were really strict, and a lot of times my dad wouldn't allow me to go places or to have friends over or to go places or go to friends' houses or, you know, go to social events or anything like that. Then I always felt like I was just trying to find excuses that were acceptable to get out of the house, because otherwise I felt restricted and constricted at home.
Okay, so because I'm tapping into something and I want to make sure I don't lose it, but okay, so your father, when he did this, what was his reasoning behind it?
For him, it was trying, he says it was trying to protect me, but it certainly didn't feel that way.
Yeah, because this is the same pattern. Trying to protect you causes the exact same thing they try to protect you from. You know what I mean? So when did, because I know that you've had issues with, like, stuff in the winter, you know what I mean? Like the sinus stuff and some breathing stuff. When did that begin in your life?
I think, you know what? I think it probably started right after he passed away. The winter after he passed, I ended up in the hospital with pneumonia. So he passed away in February, and I'm thinking it might have been like March, somewhere around there, that I ended up in the hospital.
Okay.
And
so
then after that...
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, after that, it seems like every spring and then sometimes around winter, then I've had pneumonia a couple of times, but I almost always get sinus infections or some sort of upper respiratory infection.
Okay. So in your own words, what is pneumonia?
Infection in the lungs. And of course then that affects your breathing.
Okay. So like an inflammatory response, like in your tool of breathing, basically. And if you go into the inflammatory response, that's normally, like, when I go into inflammatory responses, I think repressed passion. So that's how I like to look at inflammatory responses. So when, and this might be a little, and I want to ask two different questions here. First, I want to ask, when your dad, because you were young when your dad was protecting you from going out, I remember that, because we've known each other since the seventh grade. So, you know, you were really young. And when your dad did that, like when he was like, okay, you know, it's best you stay in, you're not allowed to use the phone, you know, I remember that. You can't talk to people, like it really kept you isolated. What was the main breath of life for you then? What was the goodness and joy that you had for life that you remember? Did you think of your dad like, my dad is my everything at that point, my mom is my everything? Like what was your like priorities in your life at that point?
I don't know. I think I focused like just more on myself and was, like I said, was always just looking for different things to do that were acceptable that I could get me out of the house. So like I was very involved in the church. I loved going to church. I loved being active in youth group. If there were activities at school that I could be involved in that if my dad didn't mind, then I did it. But I don't know. I think my friends and myself, that was like the things that kept me happy, because I certainly didn't feel like when I thought of him, it wasn't like happy feelings. It was more fear and suffocation.
Okay, so we do definitely want to do healing around that whole pattern of suffocation with him. And there's different things I want to kind of latch onto here. With him, what was the worst thing that would have happened if you would have went out or took a phone call that you shouldn't have? Do you remember what would have happened to you? What was the worst fear around that?
Oh, I knew that he would beat me and then he would keep me in the house even more. So, like, you know, if I rebelled even the tiniest bit, then I would just be more restricted. And I already didn't have freedom. So, you know, I liked when I did get to leave the house, and I knew that if I did any push too much, I wouldn't ever be able to leave the house.
Okay. So basically, he made you feel guilty about wanting that freedom. And then if you were to have tried to take that freedom, you know, beyond his permission, then you would have been punished. Okay.
Yeah.
And then when you were able, you know, whenever he did tell you, hey, you know, Shirley, you can go do this, was there any guilt around that?
No. No. I was always, like, super happy and ecstatic when he actually let me do anything. There was no guilt around it. Well,
okay.
I mean, there were times, but it would be when it was something that he really didn't want me to do, and I would have to beg and beg, and then he would make me feel really guilty for going or doing it. So
okay.
There were times that did happen, yeah.
Okay. So, like I said, there's different ways I want to do this, but I'm going to go here. So was there anything in your life right before you got COVID that you felt like, okay, I'm doing something that's liberating me. I'm doing something that's really enjoyable. I'm doing something that's going to set me free. Anything personal going on where you felt like you were satisfying yourself?
Yeah. I'm dating someone. So right before the weekend before I got COVID, I stayed at his house. And so that was something for myself. But then the next morning, when I was getting ready to go home, then my other daughter was mad because she found out that her sister had been somewhere with a lot of people and was freaking out and yelling at me. And so, like, everything I had just enjoyed, basically, I felt like it's got taken away. Like, my one moment of happiness that I get to have, like, every couple of weeks, it was completely ruined.
Okay, so this is something about the patterns I'm talking about, replaying the pattern of kind of being punished for enjoying yourself.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
you would have a price to pay.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so I'm writing that down. We want to go into there's a price to pay for enjoying myself. Now, going into enjoying yourself. So this might be really helpful for you to purge with this. With everything you told me, and I'm kind of getting a whole different view on this, with the way you were programmed to basically not think like human contact and that kind of love connection was okay, even when you were like young, you know what I mean? Like not, what's the indulgent? Indulgent behaviors are not okay. So with the relationship that you're in, what kind of trajectory was that going in, like right before all this happened?
We did have kind of like an argument, or not an argument. We kind of had some disagreement, but it wasn't anything major. And it, I think I remember because I had messaged you, just like, he just seems like stuck and like he'll move forward and then two steps back. So like things will be going in a good direction and I think we're getting somewhere. And then he like almost just backs up again. And like, so when I think we've made progress then he'll say something or do something that makes me feel like no progress has been made. And we're just in this holding pattern of repeating the same things over and over.
Okay. So remember, and I want you to think, because you're really, really good at this. We're kind of walking blueprints of what we've been through in our lives, like our programs, the way we've been scripted. And so, like, if you're a blueprint or you're a pattern, then your life's going to reflect that. So when you do this type of work, we're shifting you know, recreating the blueprint. So if you've had a blueprint that it's not okay to be indulgent, that there's a price to pay for being happy, you know, because I do remember that, like, if you went out and had a happy time, then guess what? Surely staying in for another month. Okay.
So yes. Yes.
You're carrying that. Guess what? If you and your boyfriend are getting along, then guess what? Two steps back. It's recreating that pattern. So we're going to use this time to shed that with the shadow energies, that you don't have to pay a price. There's no price to pay. And how does that feel for you to think there's no price to pay for happiness?
That would be awesome to not have to feel guilt about having fun, because I guess I do think that a lot of times I feel like I know if I go and have fun that somebody's going to make me feel guilty about it. Somebody is going
really
to say something.
And that's true. That's been created in your life over and over.
Yes. Yes.
If you're having fun, then one of your kids call and yell at you. I've seen it. Your ex, if you're having a good time, he tells you off. Like, it's this pattern that's been recreated over and over. And what I know how we're going to release it, because it's going right back to the pneumonia pattern that happened right after your dad died. We have to go into, you know what I'm tapping into, I'm going to be really honest here, is you loved your dad, but the relationship was bittersweet, right?
Right.
And
yeah,
it's almost like there was some sort of, like, there was definitely grief there around losing your dad, but then there's almost some sort of release. And the release and the grief are kind of like going into this muck. You know what I mean? So tap into that and tell me what you remember going through when your father died, consciously or even now that you've done all this work. What do you remember happening with your emotions and your thoughts?
Exactly what you said, just like grief of, because of course I love him, he's my dad. And right before he passed, like, we had tried to work on the relationship some, but also, like you said, this big relief of, like, not having to be judged for everything in my life, or somebody trying to tell me what to do. And I was 20 when he passed, but someone trying to control me. And, you know, I felt that way for my mom too, because, you know, she couldn't even live her life. So there were, like, conflicting emotions about me being really sad about his passing. And at the same time, like, I wouldn't say happy, but definitely, like,
like a burden
relief.
Yes, yeah,
like a big, yes, exactly. A huge burden lifted, for sure.
Okay, so what I see is, like, those two energies have not found a balance. Like, if you know what I mean, like, how can you have both? How can you have grief? And on one end, I'm just going to say it like this, because I'm going to be an extremist. How can you be grieving and then one and be happy at the same time? So
right.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm asking you, how do you do that? How do you make that a homeostasis? How do you balance that in the lungs? How do you balance that in your body? What comes to you when I say that?
I have no idea. I don't know. Like, over the years, I've just tried to tell myself that both feelings are totally normal, but I never really thought of them as, like, kind of battling against each other. I mean, I guess they could, it could be, yeah. But I've never really thought about it like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's something actually kind of new here that, like, I can tell. So this, with the shadow work, which is what we're doing, we got to, like, just, you know, the Shirley that was grieving, you really let that be seen. Like, you know, obviously you're not going to hide your grief when your father died. So you really cried and you let that out, right? You honored that.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Let's go to the Shirley who felt the burden lifted off of her. Pay attention to her at 20.
Okay.
Can you bring her into your awareness?
Uh-huh.
It's so interesting, too. I have to push pause here because this just came into my vision. Your ex-boyfriend that you were very serious about when your dad was alive. Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Right as soon as I said that, he came in. When I said, honor the Shirley that had the burden. Like, I can't, like, I'm tapping into the energy. Did this guy relieve your burden, or did he put more burden on you when you're with your dad, when you reflect on that?
I actually, like, it helped a lot, but then because of my dad, I'm thankful. So even though at the time I was so upset because of my dad, is why he ended up breaking things off, because my dad was too strict and he just couldn't deal with my father anymore. And which I couldn't blame him, but now person is definitely not a person I wanted to be with. So I'm this day now I'm glad. Like I'm glad it didn't work out.
So this is the important part of this. This is why he came in. Right now I need you to know, because this is so important that you don't give your dad 100% credit for breaking it off with this guy. Because if you do that, then you're not going to trust yourself and you're going to think that you shouldn't be free. So you have to go past your dad not allowing you to be in a relationship and go to your own self and say, would you have known that this guy wasn't good for you? Would you have broke it off?
Then no. But as I got older, yes.
So it might have been a couple of years,
yes,
you would have. Okay.
Yes.
So see that playing out. You fall in love with this guy. Your dad's not telling you not to be with him. How do you see that ending? How do you see that progressing as a natural ending without your dad?
I would have found out that he was cheating. I would have found out. Well, I mean, there's other things that are. I think I told you before about him. He had like a little criminal history. Like I would have found that out. And even though like he was very manipulative, so I'm sure at the beginning I would have been manipulated easily because I was in love with him. But I think over time that I would have, like I said, I would have realized he was a cheater and realized that he was a liar, and I would have became unhappy. And I would have moved on or broken things off.
Okay. And your father. Mm-hmm. Did your father psychically see these things about this guy? Or do you think his reasoning for not letting you see this guy is because he wanted you to himself? He didn't just see this to what you're dating. Like, what was your dad's reasoning?
I don't think he knew exactly psychically, but he just picked up bad vibes from him. I'm certain of it. intuition, but like when you don't have proof kind of thing, like you just, someone rubs you the wrong way and you don't know why.
Okay.
And I think like on several different occasions, like he tried to accept this person and tried to welcome into our family. And this guy would just blatantly like, rebel against what my dad would say or whatever. I mean, at first he tried to impress him and, you know, follow the rules and do all the things he's supposed to do. But every time he got tired of that and was just like, this is bull crap. So, I think my dad just saw more there, but just couldn't put his finger on what it was.
Okay. So playing this all out, your dad did have some feelings and some intuition, because that's probably where you got yours. But, you know, your dad doesn't interfere. You didn't even have, let's pretend you didn't have your dad there. You're dating this guy. So you're 100% certain that you would have eventually broke it off?
I'd like to think so. Especially once I found out he was cheating, then yeah, I'm sure I probably would have. But it would have taken a while. It wouldn't have been right away. Because, like, years later, obviously, I think I told you, like, he tried to get back in contact with me and wanted to go out on a date with me and told me that he thought he was supposed to be the one for me, but he just messed up. And, like, my inner gut was yelling, no, 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 no. So I did not go back down that road again.
Okay, so this is important, okay, that your answer here is very important.
did you need your dad to protect you from him, or would you have been able to protect yourself?
I think I could have protected myself from him. I was just so young. So, like, at that moment, maybe I felt like I needed my dad to do it. But I think, ultimately, that I would have been able to.
Yes, that's important, because talking about your, it's huge, because we're talking about your first love, okay? And the reason you broke up was because your dad's protection, and then, you know, then he turns out not to be the guy for you. But we don't, that energy of outside, like COVID being the outside boss, wear a mask, do this, we need to get rid of that. You don't need some energy regulating your love life, okay? Because you need to know that you can ultimately trust yourself so that you don't bring in sabotage whenever you go forward in your love life. So I need you to step into the power of, I would have figured this out myself.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yes.
Okay, so are you certain you would have figured it out yourself? Okay, because that's important.
Yes.
Okay, so that's really big. I think that kind of actually makes the pneumonia pattern look better. But going into the pneumonia pattern still, and going into that Shirley, that's 20, we were there, and she has a burden lifted off of her. And, you know, I can imagine you're probably like, I'm not going to tell anybody that. That's not good to say at someone's funeral. What would you say to her?
Like I said, I kind of do talk to myself and say it's totally normal to feel that way, that, you know, totally acceptable feelings and understandable, given my life and the situation, why I would feel those conflicting emotions. So telling myself, like, it's okay to feel that way and it's understandable, and not to feel guilty, because I think there have been times where I felt guilty about that.
Okay, so what I want you to do now is I want you to see, feel, hear, whatever you do for your visualization, the two energies together. Like you said, very natural, you know, very natural. They need to coexist, actually, because shadow energies complement other energies. They're very useful. You know, that shadow energy of the burden being lifted is the part of you that wants to be free. If you didn't have that, then you'd want to be enslaved, and it's not okay to want to be enslaved. So you need that energy.
Right.
So I want you to see them like as though there's air right in front of you, like the oxygen you're breathing, the prana you're breathing. See the two energies together, the grief you have for your dad and the I'm free. And I want you to, instead of them being murky and muggy and like you're breathing in dust, I want you to feel like you're breathing into clarity. Like, okay, this feels good. These two energies actually complement each other. They make me breathe easier. Can you do that? Take a deep breath.
Yes.
Okay, so just right away, when we're doing that, there's like, obviously, there's stuff in your throat. So I think this is kind of that, like, phlegmy mucus stuff. And I'm tapping into that. It kind of almost feels like all of that expression that you weren't able to release, like I would say between the ages of birth and 20, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you've gotten that out? You feel like you've gotten that from your adrenals? The adrenals are huge, from your physical body. You feel like you've let that out? Do you feel like you've stepped in that 20 years of truth and expressed who you are?
Yes.
Okay. So look at you between the ages of 0 and 20. Who were you?
Okay.
Truthfully, who were you? Not who your dad made you, but without your dad, who were you?
I don't know. Like, I don't know what you mean by that, I guess, is what I'm saying. Not that
I
don't know.
Well, okay, so if I say between the ages of 0 and 20, Shirley, tell me about your life, you might say, geez, like my dad, because he is a big part of your life. He would say, I really couldn't do that much. You know, he kept me inside a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, who are you? Like, what about you is special, unique? Tell me about yourself. Like, I know just from being your friend, you love to dance. You like,
yes,
you're creative. So tell me about those parts of yourself, who you were, who you really were.
Yeah. So, of course, I did. I love to dance. I love to, like, draw a lot and arts, and I loved baking. I used to love babysitting. I've been a hard worker all my life. I've been working since I was, like, 13 years old. I loved spending time with family and friends. I didn't have a whole lot of friends, but the ones I did were, you know, very close, and I have lots of good memories with them. And I love music, and I mean, I still do. I just don't think I enjoy it quite as much as I did then. Then it was kind of like an escape. And I loved reading. So I would say that probably was who I was.
So you were
in those ages.
You were very passionate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And emotional. I've always been very emotional.
Okay, but what's okay, this is because think about passion, because you were very passionate, and remember I told you inflammation is repressed passion? That's what inflammation is, okay? Pneumonia, inflammation in the lungs. Repressed passion. So you have a girl that's very passionate, which you are. I remember you going to school and putting up the radio in the gym and just dancing all around. You liked ballet, like very passionate. Okay, but I can fairly say that your passions were repressed. Okay, so
yeah.
Okay, so that's where I'm going with this is, and we can do this here and now. It's like, okay, so not the emotional. You said, well, I was emotional. Someone who was very passionate, that's enslaved, is going to be emotional.
Right.
Because what do you do with that? Like, that's it would be like putting something in a box and then people beating out of the box. Let me out of here. Like, that's what a passionate person would do. Passion is very fiery energy. It's very useful, actually. it becomes inflammation when we don't let it take its own path. So you put passion in a box, it's going to be inflammation. So, you know, I want you to get rid of the program that you're emotional, quote, unquote, emotional.
Okay.
And then feel that that passion that just needs to take its path. Think about your life, and this is kind of where we're doing DNA engineering, re-engineering. Think about your life if your father would have let you do whatever, supported it, followed your passions. Now, you have a good life, but I'm just saying, just kind of reverse. Go back and see that.
Uh-huh.
You know, oh, Shirley, you like dance? Let's do this. You know, you like to sing? Let's do this. Do you see yourself being, quote, unquote, emotional?
No.
Okay.
No.
So I need you to give yourself permission there, because what Spirit just told me was that's part of the reason that you fully don't let yourself in a relationship is you're kind of scared of your own emotions.
Okay, I can see that.
Okay, so do you give yourself permission to follow your passions and just let that fire go? No, do you give yourself permission to do that? Can you do that? Do you trust yourself?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Damn COVID. There's a lot of people healing shadow energy. Okay, so I need you to actually go there. Like, even tonight when you're in bed, I want you to do this. Like, you have a passion. You have a fire.
Uh-huh.
And your fire is pretty bright. It's pretty bold, okay? And I need you to see yourself going to your boyfriend's house and letting that passion go and following it. Because you don't want to – and I'm saying that you've been boxing it up, just putting the fact that you're emotional on it. And then your reality is kind of conforming to that. So I need you to trust your passion. Just agree that you can trust your passion and let that be your guiding light, but agree to that. Bring that into your awareness and your consciousness.
Okay.
Okay, and no more, it needs to be controlled, it needs to be censored, it can be dangerous, you need to be protected from it, releasing all of that right now as we speak, letting that go. Letting your lungs, we're going into your lungs, take a deep breath, your consciousness and awareness into your lungs. Your lungs and your adrenals talking to one another right now. Your adrenals, letting your adrenals go out of fight or flight, relax, take a break, talking to your respiratory system, talking to your lungs, saying, okay, you know what? We are releasing that inflammation, that repression, the restriction of voice, expression, freeing that, teaching you, giving you the highest truth and understanding of what it feels like to speak your truth, but not just speak it verbally, dance with it, sing with it, movement with it, draw, cook, do whatever you do, but trust it. That's a huge download for you, that you're trusting your passion. It's going to be really big in your relationship, that you don't think you're too much. Shirley's too much for him. No, okay, you're not emotional. You're passionate, okay? So, and then giving you the highest truth and understanding of what it feels like to be free, but to be free without guilt. And this, okay, so one of the things that I know you've been dealing with ongoing, not physically, but energetically, is it like a cardiovascular pattern in the heart, because, you know, that's what your dad died of. You know, he was 43 when he died of a heart attack. So I feel like your dad, to some level, did the same thing. He trapped his own passions. And, you know, maybe he felt like he didn't have enough resources. I don't know what, you know, what the reasons were there, but like, I do feel like he did the same thing. So go into your heart space, go right between your throat and your heart, that area, and just take a deep breath and pull the stuck energy out. But as you do it, we're going to give you downloads of, you know what it feels like to breathe protected. You know what it feels like to be safe. You know what it feels like to breathe effortlessly and easily. You don't need phlegm. You don't need congestion. You don't need reminders that you need to be protected, that you need to be safe. You don't need things slowing you down. That's kind of what that reminds you of, something to slow you down. You don't need regulation. What it feels like to be unregulated. What it feels like to trust yourself. What it feels like to know that you're divinely protected. And then, hold on 1 second, because I'm going, it's interesting because like I'm led to your ears. Your eardrums, how are they feeling right now?
Right now, my ears are a little bit clogged because of the drainage, but.
Okay, did you ever have, like, ear issues? Did you have, were you one that had, I can't remember, tubes or anything?
I didn't get tubes, but I had a lot of ear infections as a child.
Okay, because this is
and
about.
And I had a BB stuck in my ear one time, and they had to strap me down and pull it out. And so I've always been very sensitive about my ears.
Okay, because I need to know this because of what I just picked up. How did you get a BB in your ear?
I don't know. I guess I stuck it in there myself. No idea. I just remember being like between two and three, and they strapped me down to a table, and they had to go in with an instrument to get it out, and I was screaming for my mom, but she wasn't allowed in the room. I remember that very vividly. And like I said, I would only been like between 2 and 3.
Okay. So let me close your eyes and take a deep breath. And I know you know how to do this. That's why I'm doing it pretty fast. I think that's important because we're giving you these downloads. But when we do this, close your eyes and just gracefully roll them in the back of your head. So like if you're looking in the back of your head, just do some eye rolling. And I'm going to give you the download of you know what it feels like to hear freedom. I'm going to say this 3 times. You know what it feels like to hear freedom. You know what it feels to hear freedom. Feel that. You're hearing freedom from your ears all the way down to your throat. There's no congestion. Because what I'm picking up is you're getting tired of hearing what you were hearing. Like even now. my boyfriend and I are arguing about this. It's like, you need to be able to hear freedom. You're giving yourself permission to hear freedom. And what that means is the things that people are saying to you, you're going to love. The news you're getting in your life, you're going to love. You're opening your ears to hear freedom. You trust that you're going to hear freedom now. Connecting that, your inner eardrums with your throat, with your thyroid, with your heart, with your lungs, through your tailbone and into the earth, feeling this be your reality, your existence. And then as tonight, when you sleep, you are grounding this into your reality like the roots in the earth, making this your foundation. With each eye movement you make as you sleep, this is becoming your reality. This is becoming your existence. You're expecting this in your life. You know what it feels like to live without authority other than yourself. So giving you the freedom of making your own choices. Okay. Good. Does that feel good?
Yes.
Okay, so it's interesting. You're going to have a 20-year-old soul fragment come in tonight. Yeah, she's been sitting there a while. We haven't seen her. So, yeah, you're going to have her come in. She's going to come in tonight during your sleep. She's going to digest. She's going to bring – she's going to come back because she feels certainty now. She feels okay. She feels okay with that confusion that she felt when your father died. She's okay now. So she's going to come back. And she's important to you. So you have to honor her, but you will. How are you feeling? We didn't really get into this, but what I meant between you and Kayla with connecting patterns is, do you see any of your shadow energies intertwining together? Your reality reflecting one another.
She and I are always a conflict, and, you know, she's a teenager and doesn't want to listen to anything I say, constantly arguing with me. And so, of course, I would have to get sick with the person who I fight with the most.
Okay, so I want to say this. We have like 3 more minutes, but I want to say this. She is the part of you that is like, screw this, I'm not listening to anybody. Isn't she that part of you that you wish you could have been?
Yes,
but
she
she's taken it to extreme, hasn't she? So the balance that we just did, the balance we just did is going to help her. That's where I knew it was connecting somehow. So what I need you to do to end a balance, like, no, you don't have to be her, but you don't have to be the way you were. And then bring that balance that we were talking about together.
Okay.
You know, you know what I'm talking about, where I said breathe that air in, feel calm about it, and then think about her. Because when you shift you, you're shifting her because she's your child. And I know you know what I'm talking about. So balance that and think about that right before sleep. And when your 20-year-old soul fragment comes in, that's really going to integrate. And then I see this being a healing for both of you guys, because when the COVID releases, I just know it heals shadow energy because I've already been told that. So you're going to think to yourself, oh, this is good for me. I'm glad this is released. I'm glad I could purge this. Okay, and thank you so much for coming on the show, Shirley. And if anybody wants to look at my website, it's www.consciousinfinity.net. I have meditations on there. I have Magical Tea Time podcasts, videos that are informational that teach you how to get into the heart space. But I'll see everybody or be with everybody next Tuesday. Okay, thank you, Shirley. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
News for the Soul Radio will begin its 24th year of broadcasting in January 2021. After nearly a quarter of a century of grassroots investigation and exploration into the unknown and lesser-known realms to discover what's really real and what's really possible, with News for the Soul founder journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm, we now find ourselves here in this pivotal moment in human history. Staying in our power and in our hearts is more crucial than ever. We are continuing to work 24/7 at News for the Soul to uncover truths and techniques to best maneuver through challenging times. We are increasing our broadcasting hours to support and serve in the highest way possible. Tune in daily to discover hosts and radio shows, and also to hear Nicole Marie's latest cutting-edge interviews with luminaries of our times speaking to what's happening in our world today from a conscious perspective. Community, consciousness, and positive empowered focus are crucial. We are here for you. Go to newsforthesoul.com to find out more. That's newsforthesoul.com, and spread the word so others can avail themselves to this free resource as well. That's newsforthesoul.com.